If it's okay with everybody, I'm gonna sit down this morning and do this. If that's all right, it's been a long week. Just got back from Newark, Ohio yesterday. You might have been to Newark. It's really nice. It's really nice there. I like it, right? But then my wife made me go to this gala last night, and I'm spent. I'm tired. All right. Me telling her that I got a pre-smart didn't get me out of it. She was like, hey, if you ain't ready by now, brother, then it doesn't matter. Amen. So I'm not going to sit down. I mean, y'all know me better than that. But I do want to talk to you about what Brian just shared, Pastor Brian just shared, just regarding where we're at and where we're at as far as this series is about, greater is he. And I want to try to draw some alignment into things that have been taught and preached from this platform probably over the past couple of months. But I do want to go back to one thing that he said last week that I thought was really, really powerful. He says, if you can't do all things you want for all the people you want in all the ways you want. Okay? There's a lot of wants there, right? No needs, but just wants. And I think as people, we want to give and we want to do that. And so that brings me to something that happened in our marriage between Stacy and I. It was some years ago. And I went to her and I said, hey, babe, I feel like I've heard the Spirit of God. We're going to talk about spiritual things today because I think it's important to talk about spiritual things because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and rulers of darkness and in high places, all right? That's what we wrestle against. So we gotta talk about some spiritual things here, okay? And so I was telling Stacy, I said, I believe that I've heard God say to me that it's time for graduation. We had been at a church. I'd been at a church for about 12 or 13 years, and I believe God was telling me it's time to leave. It's time to go. And Stacy looked at me. She's like, okay, hey, that's great, right? Well, you know, and so I want to do things in decency and in order. So called our pastor. We went to her house, sat in her living room, and we had a conversation. Now, this is the woman who had birthed me out in the spirit. She was my spiritual mother, right? When, you know, got me, cleaned me up. The Lord used her in my life in a very transformative way. And so now going in and saying that, hey, you know, I feel like it's time for us to go, man. That was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done. I was sobbing. I was crying. I thought the sky was going to fall, literally. And so Stacy and I, we get in the car, we're driving home, and I was like, you know, I said, are you okay? Because I'm sobbing, and she's, you know, she's very composed, as she always is. And she looks at me, and she says, God told me a year ago we were supposed to leave. Why is that funny? I'm being serious. Y'all are really laughing, right? And so going back to this statement about you can't do all things you want to do for the people that you want to in all the ways that you want to. When we talk about spiritual things, what Stacy has always been really good at, and I think what God has grown us into here as a church, where when we're closing out a service, somebody will come up and say, hey, I believe God gave me a word to give. Okay, we've seen that throughout the course of some of our Sundays. What's the beautiful thing, and this is an example of, is that Stacy was able to hold that word for a year. Because, see, every word that you hear from God, we got to measure it and discern it. And we have to say, okay, God, is that word for me? Is that for me to give out to people? Right? I've made that mistake where God had downloaded something to me, and I'm like, oh, man, I get so excited about it. I get so enamored by it that I want to run and I want it to be impactful in that moment. And I want to run and go and do it. Brian talked about this earlier this morning, but I want it to go viral. Right? And so what happens is you can go before time. And then you get out of order with God in the spiritual matters of things. All right? Now, I promise all this is going to line up, but I need to give you that backdrop because being able to hold a word shows some faithfulness, right? And it shows that, man, God can trust us and that I'm not tempted to go before time, okay? And so now as we talk about the second temptation of Jesus, we talked last week about, man, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and man, he was hungry, and the devil said, hey, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus said, hey, man should not live by bread alone, which is giving an example of his trust to the Father. Hey, I trust Daddy God. And so the enemy takes this, and now he says, we're going to see how much you really trust him. So if you will turn in Matthew chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 5 and 6. And it reads, then the devil took him, Jesus, to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and their hands will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And so we're going to walk these things down, and we're going to take this and kind of break it apart just a little bit. But the first thing I want us to notice is that then the devil took him to the holy city, that is Jerusalem, and he took him and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple. The temple in Jerusalem is a huge thing. Huge. That's culture. It's everything. It's the Pharisees. It's everybody. All the learners of the word, the Torah, they're all there. And he's taken him and he has set him upon it. He said, hey, listen, stand up. And everybody's looking just like you're looking at me now. They don't know who's up there, but they're all kind of just kind of looking. It looks a little hazy because he's a lot higher. So to kind of give you some background about the temple, we know that the temple was built by Solomon because David couldn't do it because there was too much blood on his hands, but his son had the honor of building the temple for Daddy God. And they said the archway of the temple was about 180 feet. Then Nehemiah, he came and he did some renovations. And then Herod the Great came and did more renovations. And it doubled the size of it. So whatever it was at the original state, it had doubled. So now, man, Jesus is up there. And he allowed himself to be taken there by the devil. And the devil, He's really good at this, right? Everybody remembers when I told you about a book I was reading called The Bait of Satan. And the biggest thing that the enemy uses what is offense. And so to give that example, what the devil does is he says, if you are the Son of God, if, which could be an offensive statement. It could be a little offensive. I could say, Mike, if Crystal loves you, I don't know. But if she does, that could be a little offensive. Ron, if Lynn has really been married to you all this time, right? My people, I'm going to preach just to y'all today. I don't know about the rest of these people, but y'all are catching it. Amen? So these things become kind of offensive. He says, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down. Throw yourself down. And then he gives him the word, right? The devil knows the word. He's not knowing. He understands and he knows it. And he gives him the word back to him. He says, hey, man, he's already promised that he's going to give his angels charge concerning you, and they're not going to allow you. Matter of fact, they're going to gird you up in their hands, and you won't strike your foot against a stone. You won't be killed. You'll be fine. Now, the location of this temptation has special significance. The first is that it's really, really practical. We just talked about it. It's in a public setting. It's in Jerusalem, the holy city, and it's in the temple. Man, everybody's there. It's all type of movement. It's all type of activity. Everybody can witness everything that's going on. The second reason is that it's very symbolic. Where the temple is at this time is very symbolic, and it goes throughout the course of history. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 22, because I want to give you word. I don't want you just to believe Pastor Coach, all right? Then you go home and you say, hey, man, he really didn't read no word today, all right? Can we read some word? Is that all right? Here we go. Somebody, thank you, Crystal. I appreciate you so much. So let's go to chapter 22 in Genesis, and let's see the significance and why this is so symbolic of this location. And it reads, after these things, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham. Abraham says, here I am. God says, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountains I will tell you about. Right? So we're building. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Second Chronicles chapter 3, we're going to start at the first verse. It's titled Building the Temple. Then Solomon began to build the Lord's temple in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. It's symbolic, Mount Moriah. So let's go back. So here's the thing. The enemy, our adversary, the devil, knows the word of God. All the Jewish leaders at that time in Jerusalem understands the significance of where the temple was built. It was built on Mount Moriah, which, first of all, God goes and it says that he tests Abraham to say, hey, go and take Isaac here and make a sacrifice. We all know the story. God came, ram in a bush, tells him to stop. It doesn't happen. But here's the key thing that God has said to him. He said, take your only son, whom you love, and go and sacrifice him. And now here we are, current day. The devil says, hey, go to the pinnacle, throw yourself off. He will give his angels charge concerning you. Why? Because you are the only begotten son of God. It's symbolic. And once you do this, Jesus, everybody's going to know who you are, and they're going to know your fame. He's going to make an instant splash because why? All the Jewish leaders, all the Jewish teachers, everybody's going to understand and know what this is. And then his fame is going to ring out. You remember, it's about a month ago now, Pastor Brian came and talked to us about, you know, impact and influence. Impact and influence. We got the podcast. I've listened to it several times. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's really great. And here's what I want to say. Impact is good. There's nothing wrong with impact. But the one thing that I told Stacey, I said, I don't think I want to impact my children. I don't think I want to impact my children. And so what we want to do is we want to influence. We want to influence. I want to influence my children. I want to influence culture. I want to influence the things, the people, places, and things around me. And so when we looked at impact, and, you know, it gave this formula of force over time, big F, big T, over time, minimum amount of time, right now, right now, right now. Matter of fact, the example that he gave, if you clap your hands repeatedly, you're making impact, but one or two things are going to happen. Your hand's going to start to hurt, and you're going to stop, which means that impact is not sustainable. Then we talk about influence, we talk about friendship, relationship over time. Okay? Here's what I can tell you about these temptations. The devil tempted Jesus with impact because he was terrified of his influence. He tempted him with impact. Hey, get up, do this right now. If you do this now, man, guess what? Everybody's going to know your fame. Everybody's going to know who you are. And then what? Man, we even got to talk about the cross. We take the easy way. We can microwave this thing. We can microwave this thing right now. We're done. Look, everybody now knows. And I'll tell you, and it is, right? We chuckle, we laugh about it, but it's truth. I can tell you right now from my own experience, I don't want to have to grind or labor for anything. That line is not long. It's a very short line. And especially when we talk about the things of God, when we talk about our salvation, if we're not careful, I will be okay with and consumed with just being a believer. I got my ticket. I know where I'm going. Come on now. When there's so much more that he wants for us in our lives, but so many times, and I'm gonna speak to myself right now, so many times I wanted to know Jesus only as Savior and Lord, but not in his suffering. I didn't want to know Jesus that got tempted at fasted for 40 days, 40 nights, because my mind began to say, man, how in the world did he get through that? Because I have to think, when you're standing on the pinnacle of the temple, which is the highest point, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I don't think he was that strong physically. He was at his most vulnerable state. If the wind blows any harder, but he's standing there, what's anchoring him? What's causing him not to jump? And just to be honest, this is just Pastor Coach, I probably would have. Because I probably would have been in my flesh, and I probably wanted to make an instant splash. I want to be known, I want my name to ring out. So the devil comes back to him, and he's giving him the written word. He's giving him Psalms 91. Some of us, most of us, we've probably read this before. And again, he doesn't ask him a question. He makes kind of a sarcastic statement of, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, lest you dash or strike your foot against the stone. And that's good. That's the word of God. Let's close it up and let's go home. I said this a little while ago to everybody. I said, man, in your lifetime, there's going to be four voices that you hear. It's going to be God, it's going to be yourselves, it's going to be others, and it's going to be the devil. We have to discern who's saying what. In this, Jesus had to discern what was being said. And I'm going to tell you right now, if we turn to Psalms 91, we're going to look at it. And he did. He gave Jesus the word, but he only gave Jesus half of it. He didn't give him all of it. And see, a lot of times when we're going through things and things are happening and I'm down and I don't know what's going on and I'm suffering and I'm getting struggled, man, I want to do the most impactful thing. So here's the thing. If I'm struggling in a relationship, or if I'm struggling financially, or if I'm struggling in my career, or if I'm struggling in whatever I may be struggling in with my weight or anything like that, I'm going to do the thing that is the least path of resistance. So if I'm struggling financially and I'm in debt, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take out another loan because that's going to help and work. And I get cash right now, and this is going to help me. Or better yet, if there's an issue in my relationship or in my marriage or something like that, then I'm just going to say, man, I need to get out of this as soon as possible. If I don't like my job or if my supervisor says something that I don't like, and I'm just going to say, well, man, they don't like me. If I'm a student in school and I'm not doing well, well, I'm just going to say, well, they just don't like me or they just don't respect me. So I'm just going to throw in a towel and I'm not going to do anything more. I'm not really going to try to dig in and I'm not really going to try to get better and suffer through anything because that's not how society teaches us. What's the thing that can impact me the most right now? I can leave. I can bail. I can go home. I can withdraw. Because that's going to impact my emotions. That's going to impact how I feel. That's going to impact me feeling better. I said this to my players this past week. I said, here's the thing. This is going to sound really, really harsh. This is going to sound, y'all going to say, man, you said that to him, past coach? Absolutely. I said, nobody cares how you feel. Woo! But it's truth, right? Nobody cares how you feel. They don't. They don't. The enemy didn't care how Jesus felt. He didn't care that he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't care. He was only thinking about himself and what he wanted. Why? Because I have to stop his influence. See, Jesus came to influence culture. He came to influence people. He came to influence how we see and look at one another. He came to influence us loving our neighbor as ourselves. He came to influence me loving my enemies. And what does that look like? That looks like some type of spiritual maturity and also some emotional maturity. So before you throw me out and beat me up and say, how could you say that to those young men? It's the truth. And the one thing that we talk about, the one thing I talk to my coaches about, man, there's values that we have as coaches. So let me come back and everybody start loving me again before you think I'm just the worst person in the world. Right? I said, if I care too much, me caring so much about you, it's going to enable your behavior. So what we do and what we say from a value perspective is that what? We are going to enable you. We're not going to enable you, but we are going to empower you. See, we talk about spiritual things. The Holy Spirit empowers us to go through some of these things. The Holy Spirit is the one that keeps us connected to God the Father. It keeps us connected to His Word. So that way, man, it's not just the enemy delivering word to us, but the Word is written on the tablets of our hearts. It's in our mouths, and we're speaking it out. Because why? Out of the abundant of the heart, the what speaks? The mouth speaks. What are we speaking? Are we speaking things that are going to impact culture or influence culture? What are we speaking? See, I want to empower my young men. Yes, most of them. Man, single family, some are homeless, some living in poverty, absolutely. But you know what? Greater is He who is in you than he that's in the world. Or I can sit and placate and say, oh my gosh, what do we got to do? We got to come up with another program. My goodness, how many programs do we need before we get to Jesus? I'm all right with programs. I run a nonprofit. Guess what we have? Programs. But also what we talk about is we talk about being people of influence because that's who Jesus is. And that's what the enemy was trying to restrict him from. He was trying to slow up and stop his influence and tried to convince him and tempt him to be impactful. And Jesus would have had none of it. The other thing that we talk about with our young men, we say, hey, man, listen, we want to discipline our young men, but we're not going to dispose of them. We're not going to throw them out. They ain't trash. We're going to discipline you, though. Can't get it right today, man. Hey, man, you can go home, man. Tomorrow's a new day. We'll start over. The next thing we talk about that we're going to do with our young men is this, and this is really simple. We're going to be ultra demanding of you, but we're not going to demean you. We're going to be super demanding of you, but we're not going to demean you. You're a human. You're a human being. How Jesus started to influence as he went through, man, he started humanizing people to one another. Started humanizing people to one another. He wasn't the teachers of the day. He didn't say all this. But man, he just started meeting people where they are. Why? Because he began to humanize people. So when we look at Psalms 91, and this is really great. We really appreciate the devil speaking the word. He just didn't speak it fully. Here's the full thing. He said, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. On their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." See, that's what the enemy left out. He left out the command was, yes, they will uphold you. Why? In order to guard you, Jesus, in all of your ways. In order to guard you, Brian. In order to guard you, Scott. In order to guard you, Stacy. In order to guard you, Matthew. In order to guard you, Christian. In order to guard you, Kevin. This is why I've given my angels command, because they're going to guard you in what? And not in some of your ways, but in all your ways. And when we look at the word guard, the Hebrew word for that is shamar, which means to attend to and to protect. To protect and attend to. In all your ways, the Hebrew word for that is derek. The one thing Pastor Brian said at the end of all the temptations, what did the angels come to do for Jesus? They came to minister. They came to attend to him. They came to protect him. This word is the same word yesterday, today, and forevermore. It wasn't just meant for Jesus. It was meant for us too. Because, see, there's going to be times when the enemy's going to say, hey, let me take you to the highest place. Let me take you to the highest mount. And man, if you trust and believe in Jesus, just throw yourself down, because you know what? Your marriage is over. Guess what? The job is over. Guess what? The career is over. Guess what? The money's over. Guess what? The fame is over. So you might as well jump and make impact. When Jesus shows us how to fight for influence, how he does it, it's not just because he's Jesus. He felt, I think Crystal just prayed this, he felt the same thing that we feel now. Well, our sort of like, oh man, well, he's Jesus, man. Of course he's going to get over that. Of course he can triumph. All right, well, you, of course you can too. Why? Because he said greater works. I believe the series is called Greater Is He. It's something about this greater thing. I've been reading this book called by Jim Wilder, who he's taken some of the teachings from Dallas Willard, my man Brian, he's always ready. Dallas Willard, is called Renovated. And he's talking about how the spirit combined or intersects with our minds, our thinking. And it's been fascinating. I can't get past chapter 3. Right? Because I keep on going back and rereading. The one thing that he said that shifted me and convicted me was, he said, so many times we simply think about God when we should be thinking with God. He said, so many times we think about God when we should be thinking with God. So when I think about or take into consideration, how did Jesus withstand these temptations? I believe because he was thinking with his Father. He wasn't thinking about microwaving anything. He wasn't thinking about the easy way out. He wasn't thinking about, man, if I do this, I don't have to go the way of the cross. No, he was thinking with his Father. which enabled him to do what? To hold that word. What's the word he's holding? See, if he would have jumped, then everybody know at that time that he was the Messiah. But what did Jesus say over and over? He said, my time had not yet come. It ain't about me yet. I'm not here to tell people who I am. I'm holding this word into the right moment, to the right time. See, Jesus didn't speak before time. He was just Jesus. So when people met Jesus and the disciple says, oh, man, who is this? Oh, man, this is cool Jesus from Nazareth. Because the Messiah thing hadn't got out yet. Because why? He was able to hold that word. He had enough discipline, and his faithfulness is what caused him to propel into influence. See, it's going to be hard for us to be influencers if we can't be faithful. See, that's what happens. See, that's what Jesus is showing us. He held that word. He didn't have to defend himself. He didn't have to feel like, oh, man, this dude just asked me if I'm the Son of God. Man, dog, how he going to ask me if I'm the Son of God? I'm Jesus. See, I would have did that. Like, man, what do you mean? I'm Kemp Boyd, man. Y'all know who Kemp Boyd is. And he could have did that. He could say, man, I'm Jesus. What you mean? No, he just stood there and he took it. And here's the beautiful thing is he didn't jump off that pinnacle. He didn't jump off the temple. Why? It wasn't just about him. He didn't jump off it because, man, he didn't want to mess it up for Andy or for Paul or for Kathy. He wasn't just thinking about himself. He's like, if I jump off this right now, that's going to mess it up for everybody else. So he stayed fully clothed in the whole armor of God, standing with his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, standing, knees quivering, weak, I'm buckling, I've been fasting, I'm at my most vulnerable, but it's also my most powerful, and I'm not moved, because he knew I wasn't doing this for me. Why? Because he was thinking with his Father, not just about him. Amen? Man, come on back up. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're excited about Jesus. Amen? Come on now. We're excited about Jesus. Y'all was like, man, how he just stop and then get into that like that? Oh, man, I'm excited about Jesus. Listen, we talked about this in first service. Here's our challenge, I believe, this present time for us. Things are going on here locally in Akron. Things are going on nationally. It's hard. Things are tough. I just believe, though, this is when God does his best work. And here's the thing, as the church, can we step up on the pinnacle and not jump? Can we step on the pinnacle and not jump? And it's easy, man. We got influencers. You pull up your phone. You can do all this type of stuff. And I get it. But can we stand on the pinnacle and not jump as the church? We talk about being influencers. And again, I love my man Brian. We get to co-pastor together. This is great. Like, you talk about iron sharpening iron, we're both the knife at one point in time. And we're just sharpening one another. And here's the thing. When you talk about influence, it's been over the course of years. To where when people ask me where I pass, I was like, man, oh, I pass at Great Church Garden City. And they said, you're a co-pastor, who you pass? I said, man, I pass with a good friend of mine. Because that's my friend. And because of that, we have influenced each other. We've influenced each other. If I can get them out the quarter zips, we're going to be all right. But as we're working on it, amen? Glory to God. But we've influenced each other. See, that's what it's about. And so how we're going as a church is because God had us on the back of the mountain. He had us on that pinnacle, and we never jumped. We never left one another. And there was opportunities, but it's like, no, man, I just feel I'm supposed to be here. Oh, man, hey, if this happened, no, man, we just never jumped. We just never left. And so we're no longer waiting on God to do a new thing. This is the new thing. This is the new thing. So my hope and my prayer for all of us is we don't always just think about God, but let's start thinking with him. Let's get in this, man. He needs us. This is why he's given us. This is why he's given us all these opportunities that we see as challenges, but they're opportunities. Amen. Let's all stand and pray together. Come on now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Woo. Lord, Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you that you have equipped us and resourced us with the whole armor of God. And in that moment, that's what Jesus became for us, our armor. Thank you for the Holy Spirit just continuing to grow us spiritually, mature us, lead and guide us into all paths of truth. Father God, I pray that you teach us and you show us how to think with you in your word as we walk with others. Lord God, I pray for each and every person here. I pray for their families. I pray for their marriages, for their children, for the occupations, Lord God. I pray right now, Father God, that we are your hands and your feet. That, Father God, we are not becoming salt and light, but we are salt and light in the earth right now. Help us, Lord God, not to lose our Savior. Help us not to lose, Father God, our tastefulness, because, Father God, it all comes from you. I pray, Father God, that we are the 4D church, that we are 4D individuals, Lord God, that we're not just taking our light and hiding it under a bushel, but we're placing it on a lampstand wherever we go so all can see and be curious about that light, which is the light of Jesus. Thank you for your angels, Lord God, who you have given unto us, and you have commanded them to guard us in all of our ways. We pray these things now in the risen name of Jesus, and all of your people have said, amen and amen.